but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a .08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a .08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
Training camps in the NFL getting underway. Seahawks among those teams that are starting to report to the VMAC. It's a beautiful thing. Boy, that preseason game against Pete Carroll and company can't come soon enough at Lumen Field. Judah Newby filling in for Canzano. Welcome back, Bald-Faced Truth, 750 The Game, Bald-Faced Truth Radio Network. Michael Bumpus, co-host Bump and Stacy on Seattle Sports up there on 710 in Seattle. Great show. Get to listen to it, stream it on YouTube throughout. And Michael Bumpus, Bump, a.k.a., he joins us on the Zoom line right now. Bump, it's great to see you. Great to meet you virtually. How are you?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on your show. I'm with you. I'm excited for this football season to get going. Hey, don't get me wrong. I love me some baseball. It's all good, but it's nothing like when they strap them up and get ready to go.
Dude, it's a great feeling. Have you guys been out to the VMAC yet or getting to some broadcast from training camp on the schedule?
So tomorrow's our first day. We'll get out there early. The Mariners have a matinee game, so we'll be done early, but we'll hang around and do some interviews and get this thing going. We'll be out there for like a week and a half straight, so it's about to get real.
What, I mean, you've been through these as a player, too, with your time at Wazoo. I mean, there is excitement in the air. Are all the players looking forward to training camp, Bo?
Yeah. The young guys are, right? The veterans, you know, they could probably do it out. I would assume like, hey, Leo Williams is ready to go, but he's been through a few of these before. Sam Darnold being a veteran, he's a little different, right? He's his first year with the new team. He's ready. It all depends on your situation, man. A guy like me being an undrafted rookie coming in, I was ready to go. So I would assume Arroyo is ready. And Maguire is ready. It's an exciting time. This is when you become a pro, like for real. You are a pro now. You're with the veterans and you're preparing for a season.
Who are the first veterans that you remember talking to when you were getting ready for camp?
Nate Burleson, Deion Branch. My room was cool, man. I had some veterans who, you know, I had a Super Bowl MVP in my room with Deion Branch. And then Nate Burleson, a local hero, was in that thing too. So no, they took me under their wings. Bobby Engram, the triple OG when I was out there. So they took care of me.
So now we're going back to my formative years as in Seahawk fandom. Like my first real heartbreak was probably the 98 season, the Vinny Testaverde sneak that was not reviewed at the Meadowlands, that Dennis Erickson Seahawk team. But right up there is that 04 wild card against the Rams, that Cam Cleland touchdown, and you're throwing some of those names out there like Bobby Engram right there in the end zone. So but that's what it is to be a Seahawk fan, and you win a title along the way. How about big picture? Year two, Mike McDonald, they're building some things now, especially on defense. What would you characterize the enthusiasm right now entering year two of the new coaching regime?
I think it's there's two sides to this thing, right? It's like in football, there's three phases. I think there's two sides when it comes to being a fan of these guys. Offensively, you don't know what the heck is going to go on. I mean, you believe Sam Darnold can be something like he was last year. You believe his coaching staff is going to get this offensive line right. You believe Ken Walker is going to get downhill. You think JSN can be a guy. So there's a lot of hope. On the offensive side, it's like religion. Like you just pray and you hope that it's real at the end of the day. On the defensive side, I think there's more historical facts there. You know, you have a guy, Mike McDonald, who has devised a defense before in Baltimore to get it done. And you see the moves that he's made, right? Him getting rid of his linebackers last year and bringing in Ernest Jones and Tyrese Nice, lets you know he's not here to play. You know that Devin Witherspoon is going to be ready. You know Leo Williams is one of the best defensive linemen in the game, and Jay Love is one of the best safeties in the game. So there's a lot more, okay, I know what's going on this side of the football, and the other side is faith. It's you pray to your football gods, and you hope that it all comes together with Kubiak running the show.
Now, well, let's start then with the optimistic side in that defense. Now, my kind of take is, like, I'm hoping this is a top five unit in the league. That's a little aspirational, but why not? Let's shoot for the stars. and hope for a middle of the ground offense, and that should lead to some good things. Defensively, man, am I excited to see Nicky Minwori and what his role is going to be and what that means for Spoon, what that might mean for the guys on the outside too. How do you kind of see that working out, and what do you think Mike McDonald's, you know, vision might be for a young player that needs some reps and experience, but also has this cool flexibility that you can use him with?
Yeah, you know, naturally people, when you talk about safeties in Seattle, they want to try to compare Imawari to Cam Chancellor. I tell folks all the time, I just played golf with Cam like 6 months ago. Ain't nobody built like Cam. Like, don't even go there. My man is 6'4", 6'5", 230. They don't make Cam Chancellors like that. But he does do some things that Cam does without the extent of violence that Sam came with it. But I look at Kyle Hamilton, I think that's a better comp, even though Imawari is his own player. But as humans, that's what we do. We try to make things familiar. So what's his plan with this young cat? I think he's going to experiment. I think he's going to do what he's done with Jay Love, what he's done with Kobe Bryant, what he did with Wallace and Jenkins when they were here. I'm going to line you up in the box. I'm going to put you in the slot. You're going to be over the top. Because remember when Quandre and Julian Love were together at the start of the season, Quandre came out and said, you just don't know who's doing what. And in some defenses, you know what safety is going to roll down in the box, who's going to play the flat, who's going to be run fours, and you know what safety is going to be over the top. I think you have the same thing with this trio, because you can't forget Kobe Bryant, who I'm so proud of and happy for, because he's been through a lot. Now he's a starter in this game. So it's about confusing the defense, right? Get that QB to believe something's there that's not really there. This guy's blitzing, this guy's over the top. So lots of rotations, lots of hybrid type of linebacker situations. You got the nickel as well. You can bump Spoon to the outside. It's just versatility, man. And if you look at what Mike McDonald did with the Baltimore Ravens, it was all about versatility. And you have a guy that resembles some things that Kyle Hamilton does. That's what allows that versatility, because you don't really know what he's going to do.
Michael Bump is joining the show right now. Co-host Bump and Stacey up on Seattle Sports. Offensively, a lot of intrigue here, but for a bit of a different reason. I liked the hire of Clint Kubiak. I like something that gives you just a little bit of a higher ground to work with in the running game. But not going to lie, Bump, I mean, there are some questions that need answering. Let's go outside the quarterback position with Sam Darnold. We'll get to him in a moment. But the scheme itself and the offense itself, you know, what is it going to kind of look like and feel like? What's the goal with all of this?
Well, you know, when people break down Kubiak, they're all going to say the same thing, outside zone, outside zone. And for the common fan who doesn't know what that is, you're going to pack it in with maybe some 12 personnel, have your tight end attached to the line of scrimmage, and you're going to try to stretch the defense east to west, is what I call it, left to right. And what that does is there's no gap scheme, guards pulling or whatnot, though he is going to do that, but it's his jab is what I like to call it. It's going to be that outside zone. You want to stress that defense, get him as far right or left as possible, get upfield and look for the cutback. And I think with the personnel of this offensive line, it probably suits it best, because you don't have these big maulers on this offensive line. They're big people regardless. You and I, we're average size human beings, right? These guys walk around and, you know, they play some ball, but they're not the big maulers that you see with Philly, with Baltimore, and those teams who are super run heavy. So what do? You use their skills to their advantage, which use their feet, combo block to those linebackers, and just try to allow the running back to find the gap. So that's gonna be his jab. He's gonna start with that outside zone, and then from there, anything goes. I hate when people just say Kubiak, outside zone type of guy. I'm like, man, if you ran the same run every single play, you're predictable. He is going to pull and going to do all that good stuff, but his jab is going to be there. Then the play action is going to come off of that. And it's about development of the offensive line. You got Gray Zabel, who they drafted early, obviously, but you got a lot of guys coming back. They didn't make too many moves when it comes to bringing veterans in with that offensive line. So that tells me they like the attributes that they bring, or they think that they'll be able to teach them their scheme.
I'm just glad that you put you and I in the same physical bucket there. You know, we're just normal sized people, you and me, Bump. So, you know, it's not like you played, you know, 4 years college football and got the NFL and all that. No, I appreciate that very much. Let's talk Sammy ball game. You know, I want to buy in. I want to buy in, and I do love his some of his moxie. I think he's underrated, and yet the Week 18 Sunday night game, the playoff game, it's in my head, Bump. What are you expecting out of Sam Darnold year one?
Oh man, it's he reminds me of like that sophomore kid who gets a start on varsity because the senior gets hurt, and he goes out there and he just lights it up, and you're really excited about him, but you don't really know yet for sure because it's all about consistency. When he got the starting job with the Vikings, I went on air on the Bump to Stacey show. Big up to Stacey. That's my girl. And I told everybody Sam Darnold is going to be just fine with the Minnesota Vikings. And they called me crazy. Bump, you know what you're talking about, yada, yada. And the reason why I thought he was going to be fine is because you know he has the talent. If you are a top 10 draft pick in the NFL, you're not sneaking in. You have talent. You've proven that you can get it done. But he was just never surrounded with a lot of top talent. So you look at Justin Jefferson and Addison and all the stuff they have over there. I figured he would be fine also because I knew that O'Connell was going to be heavy on the play action. He's that type of quarterback. He needs influence. And what influences the defense? Running the dang ball. If you can get the linebackers to step up to go left when you're supposed to go right, that's influence and it paints a picture for him. I think he can get it done, but this is the first time he's coming in since his days with the Jets, right? That he's coming in with expectation. Like, you're the guy. And it's different when you're coming off the bench, when no one expects you to do anything. You're only getting paid $10 million. J.J. McCarthy is right behind you. You know he's not going to be there for long. It's different. So now that you have the pressure, that's the thing that I'm concerned about the most is, can he handle the pressure? Physically, I know he can do it. Scheme-wise, I believe in Kubiak and what he's doing, but it's between the ears. Man, I've seen so many ballers not make it in the league just because of what's going on in their mind. So I'm optimistic. I think he can do it. But like everybody else, man, we got to see it to believe it.
A couple last things for you, Bump. Appreciate your time. You know, I think there's a lot of what the Seahawks ethos is trying to be right now of returning to its former glory, to returning to its, you know, defensive prowess and just so much energy and juice and vibes and Lumen Field rocking. I was disappointed in some games last year with the Lumen Field atmosphere. Now, I wasn't there in person, but I'm talking about games through the TV screen. The Niner game Thursday night, the Packer game late in the year, Sunday night in particular, didn't seem to be that same, like, raise it up to 11 vibes. Do you agree with that? Was that a similar perception up there in Seattle? Is anything, going to be done to change that this season?
So this is what I do. So I'm the host of the pre-halftime and post-game show. So I'm there 3 hours before the kickoff. And I sit there and I watch the crowd kind of come in. And I'm seeing more orange jerseys, more yellow jerseys than I typically see.
Yeah.
So now I go to the press box for the first half, do the halftime show. And I typically walk the bowl one time, just kind of get a feel for the game. And this was the first time in years where I'm coming back and I'm saying, man, Denver took this thing over. You know, the Vikings took it over. The Buffalo Bills took it over. And I look at it from two ways, the financial situation to where people who are ticket holders are saying, like, I can make more money if I just sell these tickets. And then I'm looking at just the passion. What have the Seahawks really given these fans to where they're bought in 100%? Because the last 3 or 4 years have been mediocre. So, I felt it 100%. But I think that there's something different with this group. I think that because you have a second-year head coach, you got a new quarterback, DK's gone, you got JSN in. Like, there's so much change that people are going to be initially captivated by this team, but now it's up to the team to keep them there and make sure they keep showing up. But yeah, I'm with you 100%. It was weird, man. I wasn't used to that.
Well, and on that note, last thing, what is it, August 7th? Pete Carroll is back in the building. I mean, can you imagine a preseason game with more hype than that one?
This is probably the hypest preseason game that I'm ever going to cover, at least in my 8-9 years covering this team. It's set up beautifully. You know, the NFL, they're good at this stuff, man. They know how to set these matchups up. You got Caleb Williams and J.J. McCarthy, the first Monday Night Football game. The NFL, they're perfect promoters. They're like the UFC. They will bring you in every single time. So I expect fans to show up, but Raiders, West Coast, those fans travel well. So I'll see some silver and black in there too.
Oh man, that's great. Any NBA talk up there too? I mean, Adam Silver's trying to fan the flames. How's that going over?
You know, people just don't want to believe when I talk about NBA on our show, they get so mad at me. One, because I'm from LA and I'm a Laker fan and everyone knows that. Obviously, I always got love for Seattle, but they don't want to believe it, man. They get mad when I talk about going to Starbucks. Like, they just don't want anything to do with that situation. But as soon as the Sonics pull up, you know how it is, man. Yeah. These are some fans. They'll buy in and they'll show up.
They wouldn't. If it was the Blazers going up there, though, like, you guys wouldn't love that, though, right?
No, it'd be like when the Chargers moved to L.A. and I got boys I grew up with who are Chargers fans. I go, y'all fake as heck, man. There ain't no Chargers, man. That's San Diego over there. So I would assume it'd be kind of the same thing. The Rams, you can get because, you know, the Rams were here at one point. The Raiders, you can get. But the Chargers moving to L.A., that'd be equivalent as Portland coming up here to Seattle.
Bumping Stacey Ayers 10 to 2, midday Seattle Sports up there, 7-10 in Seattle. Michael Bumpus on the show. I'm really grateful to meet you and get connected with you, Bump. Thanks so much for your time. At some point, we'll talk some Coug football, too, a little Pac-12 and everything along the way. But thanks for popping on with us here on a nice July day on the eve of training camp.
Let's get it. Thanks for having me, man.
Here he is, Michael Bumpus, dude. True professional. Love that. Shout out Curtis Rogers, our former boy here on the BFT, for help hooking that up as well. When we come back, we'll do the 5 at 5 plus Spencer McLaughlin. Locked On College Football joins us from Vegas in the final hour. Judah Nubian with the Bald-Faced Truth.